Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, and there's some stranger on the other side. What's your name again?
Oh, they call me lots of different things, but Ironhead would be among the more acceptable to me.
All right, it's Ironhead, Jeff Byers, for the first time in weeks. Jeff, I missed you.
Well, you know that I missed you. It's good to be back.
Ah, stop it. Question is, did the listeners miss you? I'm sure they did, Jeff. I'm sure they did.
They had to have, right? I mean, at least one of them. Somebody out there, please.
And is that one a family member?
Quite possibly.
All right, Jeff. It's been a long time since you've been on with us. I'm sure you've been busy the last several weeks. Football season is now here. We've got the meeting with the media. We had media day. We had practice starting. We had the Big Ten media day. So much going on, so much that you and I have to catch up on. Let me start with this. I'm assuming that you've been keeping track of all these media days and appearances. Anything that went on in that kind of struck your fancy, that kind of stood out?
I don't know that anything, I don't know that there was anything unexpected, terribly unexpected, or that I think is going to be, I guess, a couple of things unexpected maybe, but I don't know that there's been much that I would say is terribly impactful in terms of how I think this season could play out.
It's interesting. We get, when James Franklin comes on and meets the media, I always say you've got to be experienced at reading the tea leaves and reading James Franklin and what he's saying. I think he's more candid with us than Joe Paterno was, but I think you still have to interpret things too.
Yeah, I think in some ways he's more candid than Paterno was. I think there are some others where he's very adept at playing the game. And listen, that's part of the equation too, is, you know, I'm not faulting him for that. I think it's important that, you know, you run a tight ship and that you have the trust internally with, you know, the way your program is being run and the things that you want to keep in the house. So, you know, I'm with you. I think with most coaches, of most programs these days, that's always part of the game, is trying to interpret what maybe is actually being said rather than the words that are being spoken.
Well, my way of looking at it is, as he speaks, is he answering the question, or is he bringing up a point that's just a talking point that wasn't part of the question? So when he gets a question about Drew Aller, and then talks about the backup quarterbacks, Jeff.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, that's, you know, what the adept politicians do as well. Are you raising taxes? Well, let me tell you what I'm going to do about crime and how I'm going to – huh? What?
Exactly. So bottom line is he tells us what he wants us to hear. So that's the interesting part. Now, I want to bring up a couple of things that came up when he met the media. I know this is a week old, but still, this is our first chance to talk about it. And I wanted to hit you up on it. You're a veteran reporter, so you've been around the wild, Jeff. You're experienced. How's that?
There we go. Very experienced. Yes, indeed.
And maybe I'm hanging up too much on a word, but I found it fascinating when he was asked about Julian Fleming, and he just kept saying he's been solid. I typically expect when you're asked about a particular player, you'll find great ways to compliment them. Solid is not a great compliment.
No, it is not. And it, I will say, Jim, so for me, one of the bigger concerns to me in the upcoming season is what kind of consistency they can get from that receiving core. I think the scheme, I have a lot of faith in Andy Kotelnicki that the scheme is going to be good. I think Aller will take another step in his development. I think the running game will be solid, to use the Franklin term at the very least. At the very least. But I think as that offensive line gels throughout the season, I really do think all of that stuff is going to open up. But you need receivers who, number one, catch the ball consistently, and then number two, with what I think they're going to try to do with this offense, can get those valuable yards after catch and break some big plays from time to time. And I'm just not overly confident that those things are going to happen. I'm certainly not sitting here telling you I have no faith that it can happen, but I that for me is probably my number one concern in terms of whether Penn State can, in fact, get to the 12-team playoffs this season. If you ask me to circle the biggest area that I think could impede that opportunity, I would come back to that receiving core as the top of my list.
I think it has to be, Jeff. And now I'm going to kind of contradict myself. I use that word solid, and I called it damning with faint praise. And, you know, I think it's unfortunate that that's being described that way by me. Okay, I'm guilty. I'm the one doing it. When I think oftentimes in talking about the wide receiver group, the criticism is we're not seeing the explosive plays. We're not seeing the big plays. We're not seeing Drew Aller throwing the ball downfield. I agree. That's part of it. I also have an issue, though, on third and five, these guys getting open 8 yards down the field and making the catch, okay? They've run the wrong route. They've dropped balls. I think there's a lack of confidence from their quarterback. With that said, Jeff, I'm thinking solid would be pretty good.
Yeah, if solid results in – yes, running the right routes and making the catch, like that is a great starting point. I mean, what you're hoping to hear, I think, as a fan, when you hear that question is, man, this guy has been lights out. This is the, you know, this is what we were thinking when we recruited him, that he could be. This is the guy that can make, you know, something out of nothing, can go create opportunities for our team, et cetera, et cetera. Short of that, yes, I will say after last season, solid is not a bad thing, but it's not what you're hoping for out of your receiving core. But would solid be an improvement over a year ago? Yes, yes, it would.
Well, now also we add to the mix a new coordinator. How much difference can Andy Kotelnicki make?
I think it can make a huge difference in terms of the overall offense, and I'm expecting that this offense is going to open up a lot more and create a lot of opportunities. And I think Aller, I have enough faith in both Aller and Kotelnicki and what I think they can do together to believe that Aller will pretty consistently deliver the ball where it needs to be delivered. I think the running game will be much – I think there will be more big plays out of the running game than there was a year ago, because I think they're going to create those opportunities in space for Nicholas Singleton in particular. I think Tyler Warren is going to be a huge difference maker, but you have to get two things. Again, for Penn State to get – to 10-2, or you know, ideally even 11-1, the receivers have got to catch the ball consistently. There can't be a ton of drops over the course of the season. But along with that, and that is step one, you've got to catch the ball and be in the where you're supposed to be to make that catch. But you have got to get some plays out of that receiving core then where they make a guy miss and you turn an 8-yard reception into a 60-yard touchdown. I'm not saying it has to happen every time the receivers touch the ball, but it just those things did not happen very often last season. And that, I think, needs to occur for Penn State to get where I think the program feels it needs to get to, and I know the fans feel the program needs to get to this season, which is at the very least being one of the 12 teams playing in the playoffs this season.
I'm with you that I have a confidence in Andy Kotelnicki, and the more I hear about him and see what he's been doing with Kansas and going even further back. But do you have any concern that there's going to be growing pains to start, and you're not starting with a MAC team in that first game? You're starting on the road against a West Virginia team that's going to be really pumped up for that opener.
Yeah, I do a little bit in that. Probably my biggest concern there is with the offensive line. And I think the offensive line talent-wise is going to be fine. Maybe not quite as much top-end talent as you had a year ago, but maybe they do have that. I think that'll play out. But I think that group is going to take a few games to really kind of figure out exactly how this thing is going to work. And what they need to do and get a feel for, you know, what the defenses are going to do against them. I do like, in that regard, West Virginia being that first opponent, because I think while it gets your attention, you know, that is not an Ohio State or a Michigan defense that Penn State's going against in the opener either.
Yes, it's still a Big 12 defense, and you got to be aware that that's the case. And the more I see and hear of Andy Kotelnicki, and, you know, just another word of advice for our listeners, something useful, I know it was for me, our friends at For the Bloggy, go to their YouTube channel. Old friend Coach Caduti did a segment on the outside zone, and I think you get a feel not only for that play, but how Andy Kotelnicki works on that kind of thing and how he could create some big plays starting with the running game. We got lots more to do after this break.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, general manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante with a stranger, Jeff Byers.
Hey, how'd I get here?
It's been a while. It's so good to have you back with us, Jeff. So much to talk about, so much to cover, so much that you and I haven't hit on. And I found it interesting. See, I'm going to tell on you a little bit here, okay? You and I, we chat between segments. And as we're talking, we were talking about the confidence level in Andy Kotelnicki, yep. And then you followed it up with, I'm still concerned, though, about this wide receiver group.
Yeah, and again, I think they know it. I mean, I don't, you know, this is not any great secret that they did not live up to hopes or expectations a year ago, and that the you know, spotlight is going to be on them and how they respond. So you hope that they, you know, have a chip on their shoulder and take this to heart and, hey, we'll go show you. And it's not that I have no faith or I think there's no chance they can do it, but it is, I don't think it's unreasonable for fans to say, I got to see it, or media members or anybody to say, you know, you can't have faith that somebody is going to consistently produce and do something until they show you that they can. And we just haven't seen it yet. And again, I do think Andy Kotelnicki and these schemes are going to put the receivers and the offense as a whole in position to go make plays and to go win games. But you have to execute. At the end of the day, it does come down to executing the plays the way they're designed. And, you know, I think we have to see how this group responds when there is pressure, when Aller's under the gun and he's having to make a quick adjustment. Are the receivers making the right adjustment in that moment and getting themselves open, number one, making the catch, number two, and then again, with some frequency, some regularity, making some plays that get you yards beyond what the completion gives you?
I look at this wide receiver position similar to how I saw the offensive line a couple years ago, and I've mentioned this on a previous show. Do you remember James Franklin, what is it, 2 years ago when he, I believe, was at the Big Ten Media Days, asked about the offensive line, and he even said it. It's every year I say this is the year they'll be better, and then I have to say it again the following year. So this year I'm not going to say it. I'm going to wait to see it. I think in the wide receiver room, it's kind of in the same, they're in the same place, but I can see a light there, Jeff. Where I see it happening is Trey Wallace, a healthy Trey Wallace, number one, as the most important thing. We've talked a little and joked a little bit about Fleming being described as solid, but I'll take that. And I think he also has provided something they haven't had before, that leader during the offseason to focus and on the little things, running your routes correctly, doing all that. And then it's up to, can we get one or two more other guys, whether it's Omar Evans, is it Clifford, is it Saunders? Can one of those guys actually come up and be that third reliable receiver?
Yeah, and I think, you know, and can they go make plays? Like, Clifford is a guy that when I think solid, Clifford's a guy that certainly comes to mind. And I think you need solid in there. I also think, and both Evans and Saunders, I think, have that capability of being guys that can go make some plays that can be difference makers throughout the course of a game, or certainly over the course of a season. But in the process, and I guess this is where, like, I want the solid and then I want more. So I'm okay if Fleming is solid, and I'm okay if Clifford is solid and gets in there and they both give you, you know, solid time in and time out. But, and I'm with you, I think Wallace is a guy that if he's healthy will give you that dynamic of getting the yards after catch. Then you need one of those other guys. And, you know, Saunders, I think, has shown flashes. And Evans, I mean, when he came out, that's a guy that I kind of had penciled in as, yep, look out, this is going to be a guy that is going to be a big-time difference maker. What you need from one, or ideally both of those guys, is, yes, be a difference maker that can make some big plays, but in the process also continue to produce routinely. It is not, it offsets if those guys drop a couple of balls in a game and then make a great play that gets an extra 20 yards after the catch. You need both. We need the catches consistently, the routine catches consistently, and then, again, out of that group, two or three big plays being like 20 yards after the catch type of stuff, over the course of a game. I think if you get that, I think everything else is in place for this offense to be dynamic. Again, I have a lot of faith that the offensive line, I'm not sure it's going to be a dominant force, and I'm certainly not expecting it to be, pick up right where it left off at the end of last season at the start of this year. But I do think by the time they get to the meat of their schedule and we roll into October, I think the offensive line will be more than adequate.
You know, Jeff, I think we've all sort of seen the flashes from those guys. Omari Evans over the top, Liam Clifford as that solid receiver, Caden Saunders with that quickness in space, that ability to change directions. Why haven't we seen more from those guys? Was it on the offensive coordinator, the quarterback? Is it, we don't see everything, we don't see how they practice? How come we haven't seen more from those guys?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I'm probably guilty of most fans say, let's blame it on the guy that's no longer here. You're a such, what were you doing? And so I think we'll find out. I do think that was probably at least part of it. But my strong suspicion, too, is that they just were not consistently, again, making the routine plays and catches in practice where they had the faith of the offense as a whole and Aller as the quarterback. And, again, one of the things that I do think Aller does a great job of or did a great job of last season is not walking in and not thinking that there's one guy he has to go to. And what I'm expecting with this offense with Kotelnicki is you're going to get a lot of guys will have their opportunities over the course of a game. I mean, I think this offense is designed to spread it out, create some opportunities. And, you know, Saunders is a guy that if he can catch the ball consistently, I think with this offense and with a guy like Fleming, who part of that solid moniker is that he does block well. And I think if you can get, again, Saunders in a little bit of space, if you can get Nicholas Singleton out of the backfield in a little bit of space, Evans kind of same thing, then you should be able to create those opportunities for those guys to go make plays for you. But you first have to gain the trust of those guys. Again, you don't want it to be, man, could you believe that great catch he made after the three drop balls earlier in the game? That's not how you're going to get this offense to be where they need it to be to take advantage of the opportunity that I think is there this season.
Jeff, I don't know if you saw the Big Ten Network does their road trip. They go to every location, Big Ten, and they were at Penn State this past week, or at least the show came on. And one of the things that they talked about that I think will please both you and I is the receivers coming out of the backfield and catching balls.
Yeah, and I do think I'm probably – it's almost going to be impossible for Andy Kotelnicki's offense to live up to my expectations. So I'll admit out of the gate that I'm being unfair in, I think, probably my expectations. But I really do think that this offense, the opportunities for this offense to thrive and shine are going to be through the roof. And, you know, part of it is my belief that Aller is going to take another step in his progress. But, and, you know, as we talked about, I think they have great running backs, great tight ends, a good offensive line. And I think they just need the receivers, again, to make the consistent plays. And I think Kotelnicki will, I don't think they're going to have to make a ton of great catches, and you're going to need that from time to time as well. But if that group can just make the routine catches routinely, and then again, from time to time, burst one, I think everything else is there for this offense with Andy Kotelnicki in charge to put up a bunch of points and to give them a chance to outscore just about everybody. You know, maybe Ohio State, we'll have to see how the season plays out. That's the one game right now as we sit here I'm not overly confident in. But you also look at the track record. I mean, Penn State under James Franklin, I know they drop the game more often than not, but they're also very competitive in that game, which not many teams have been over the last 10 years or so.
Well, my take on it is trying to look at this from the outside as opposed to just the fan. And like Andy Kotelnicki coming in has got to look at it like, this is still quite a quarterback I now got to work with. I don't have one. I got two really good running backs. One of them, a guy who's so explosive. I've got maybe the best tight end or one of the handful of the best tight ends in the country. If I can, and at wide receiver, yeah, I know how they performed the last year or so, but that's with probably the most talented guy, Trey Wallace, on the bench with injuries for a good part of the season. So if I start with that, I've actually got an awful lot of weapons here on offense. Jeff, I'll let you respond to that when we come back right after this break.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Jeff Byers. I'm Jim Galante. It's quarter number three of our show. Jeff, when we wrapped up quarter number two, I put on my blue and white sunglasses, okay? I was looking at it through that, waxing poetic about this offense and the tremendous weapons they have, and it looked like you were just – you needed to respond to that.
No, yeah, I think the opportunity that is there, and again, part of what I guess I'm really hanging my hat on with the Kotelnicki offense is I do think there's going to be the opportunity for a lot of misdirection plays. I think that running game will be effective, and I think off of that, you're going to be able to do a lot with play action. To go back, you know, I was just thinking about it a little more during the break too, Jim, that like the ways that you could use a Caden Saunders, especially when you have, you know, Singleton and Allen and what they can provide in the running game and also in the passing game. Again, if you swing the ball out, let's say, to Nicholas Singleton a couple times on the one side and you have, you know, that little – kind of throwback, or you could do a shovel pass with Saunders coming back the other way, or one of the other receivers. I'm just thinking of Saunders' quickness. But I think the potential is almost limitless with this offense if the receivers can, again, make the right reads and catch the ball consistently, because you have a difference maker in Tyler Warren. You have a difference maker in Nicholas Singleton. You have another outstanding back in Allen. I just all the things that we've talked about, they're all in place. And I think this offense that Kotelnicki will design with the personnel that they have in mind, again, if they can get off to a good start, they being the receiving core, if they can get consistency through those first three or four games, then confidence to me is always a big part of sports. But then you see, right, okay, my gosh, this guy that we thought was going to be great for our offense, he is, and we see the results. And then that confidence just grows, obviously, with each outing. And I think by the time you get to that, you know, critical stretch run with the trips to USC and Wisconsin and the Ohio State game, I think you put yourself in position where, yep, we have a ton of confidence and it's backed up by results. And then I think, you know, that this team can be off to the races in terms of, you know, at the very least, again, getting into the playoffs and maybe making a bit of a run in those playoffs.
Well, again, I'm going to, again, advocate for this video on For the Bloggy, where Coach Caduti described the wide zone. And I mentioned this on an earlier show. I recommend you watch the video. And then in your mind, just picture Nick Singleton as that running back. Okay. It looks like there's just so many opportunities for that running back for explosive plays. You get essentially the whole offensive line flowing in a direction where it's just ride your defender where he wants to go. And then it's up to the running back to pick the hole. But instead of an inside zone read, the outside zone gives him the opportunity to get outside, Jeff. And I just picture him going off to the races.
I'll throw one other thing in. I'm with you on all of that. Another thing that I do love, and you know, James Franklin, as you said, kind of answered questions the way he wanted to answer, but I do think Bo Pavula is going to be a critical part of the offense. Not necessarily a huge part in terms of the number of plays that he's on the field, but everything you just talked about, Jim, is going to be there regardless. But if you add Pavula into the mix, right, for a given sequence or even just a given play. Well, now, you know, let's say you have Saunders on one side, you have Singleton lined up behind you on the other. Singleton's going one way, you're following Saunders another, and now Pavula is in that mix as well, where you've got to account for him. I just think there's so much diversity, opportunity for diversity within this offense. And again, I realize I'm not saying anything that everybody doesn't already know, but you just can't help. I think if you're a fan, a Penn State fan, you can't help but get excited about what the possibilities are here and for the different ways that this team can set itself up for offensive success.
And in watching the highlights from what Andy Kotelnicki does, and like I said, I'm just taking this package, you know, the running a wide zone, which, by the way, will be a big part of this offense, I'm assuming, is what you can then do off of it. And I think if you start with running backs like Catron Allen and Nick Singleton, a defense absolutely has to respect that, Jeff. They've got to start cheating for that. And that's one of the elements. It's like if we show this and show, you know, we're going left with our outside zone read, and it's that's where the flow of the defense starts going with it. Obviously, the backside players, they're the ones who can start cheating, Jeff. They're going to start dropping in. They're going to start cheating. And you've got enough talent with Nick Singleton and Catron Allen that they're going to need to. Well, that's when you got them right where you want them. And Andy Kotelnicki showed several different ways to punish the defense for doing the right thing, if you will, yeah, where, you know, the quarterback ends up bootlegging and there's literally nobody on the other side of the field. Or the one play they showed was he did a kind of an inside jet sweep, if you will, with that flow going all in one direction. A slot receiver takes an inside handoff, goes the other way, and there's literally one guy on that half of the field, Jeff. To your point about creating a big play, beating one guy, there's nobody else left. That was where I thought Andy Kotelnicki was creative. And I'll add into this, the James Franklin talks in terms of, oh, we're not putting in an entirely new offense. That's one of his talking points. He loves to say that. Well, the fact is pretty much every football team runs a lot of the same fundamental base things. it's what you do off of it, what creativity you have from that. You're setting up a play by doing certain things, Jeff.
Yeah, no question. It's how you manage the flow of the game or the flow of what you're doing offensively, and those little adjustments over the course of the game or even over the course of the season that are the difference makers. I mean, and obviously having guys that understand and have confidence in what it is you're doing. And I just, you know, I go all the way back to Jim, and you know, maybe I'm hanging my hat too much on this as well, but while Penn State has two new coordinators, I really do feel like it is a genuine thing when James Franklin talks about, and the players have talked about it, that they feel like they are more on the same page, certainly offensively, than they've been the last couple of seasons, which really is a testament to all of the coaches, you know, certainly to Kotelnicki and Franklin, but to all of the coaches for taking James Franklin at heart when he said, you know, before we get to the start of spring practice, we have to make sure we are all exactly on the same page and we completely understand what our objectives are. And it sure seems, again, we'll see how everything plays out, but as we sit here in August and continue to listen to everybody and, you know, talking to the people that are on the beat and have seen, you know, bits and pieces here and there, it does feel to me, Jim, like they have a better understanding and are more in sync with what they are trying to do, players and coaches alike, than they've been in quite a while anyway, than you know, certainly any of the players that are on this year's team have felt during their careers.
And Jeff, you know, I start by saying, I don't mean to throw anyone under the bus, and then I throw somebody under the bus. And that someone is Mike Yurcich. Now, I'll confess, when he came in, I was excited about him. And I was talking about him the same way I'm currently talking about Andy Kotelnicki. I saw highlights. I saw some of the things that he did. And I was excited. So at the time, I thought it was a good hire. I still think it was a good hire that didn't work out.
Agreed. Okay. Yep.
And for James Franklin to let him go middle of the season, there was something going on. It was a bad fit. It doesn't make Mike Yurcich a bad coach. It just makes him a bad fit, and that was obvious. And James Franklin will still talk about the, did you notice how many more big plays than the last couple games of the season last year? Where he doesn't finish the sentences after we let Mike Yurcich go.
Yeah.
But we all know that's what he's thinking. So I do think there's a bit of addition by subtraction. And again, not to throw anyone under the bus, but I'm going to throw someone under the bus. I feel like at wide receiver, you know, Keandre Lambert-Smith, it just felt like he wasn't the right guy to be your number one guy and your leader in that room. It just didn't seem to work last year. So Kotelnicki for Yurcich, Julian Fleming for Lambert-Smith as the leader in the locker room, I think will make a big difference on this offense.
Yeah, I do too. And I think the confidence that Aller has in Kotelnicki is going to be a difference maker as well, because I'm really excited to see, I guess, what Aller does in the big games. Again, he was terrific in all of the games that we expected Penn State to win last year. But I really think with Kotelnicki's tutelage and with that, just the year of maturity and growth that Aller has under his belt, I think, I'm not saying he's going to go out and beat Ohio State, but I think he's going to perform. I don't think he's going to be a reason after the game you look at and say, boy, Aller just didn't come through there. I don't think that's going to be the reason they lose big games this year.
That is it for quarter number three. Jeff, we got one more quarter to go. Stick with us.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Jeff Byers. I'm Jim Galante. It is quarter number four. Jeff, I just realized how many times I said I'm not going to throw people under the bus, and then I just throw them under the bus.
Hey, Jerome Bettis ran over a lot of people, so it's not, it's understandable to be, you get under the bus, there's not much you can do. God bless our Super Bowl champion.
It's a feature, not a bug, to put people under the bus. All right, let's move on. A topic that's not so much fun, Jeff, but I wanted to get your take on it. This has been going on for a couple weeks. It's over, but I did need to get your take on it. A couple of players that, no, they weren't necessarily star players, although Jamel Lyons looked like he was going to be the next big thing at defensive end. But Penn State had two players suspended earlier this year. I think it's been a good run for this Penn State team, not having too many players get themselves into trouble. But it's still a situation where I feel, as a longtime Penn Stater, I want to have that success with honor be part of what we talk about with Penn State. And if you have guys go astray, it is time to suspend them, kick them off the team. And if nothing else, it's also got to be the example that you set for the rest of the team that this kind of behavior is just plain not going to be tolerated.
Yeah. Not knowing the details, Jim, and I don't know the details. I don't know if I haven't even heard the whispers, and I don't know if that's out there or not. But without knowing the details and what happened, I guess to a very large degree, I'll just trust James Franklin's judgment here. There's a couple of things I will say. So, and I've had a couple of friends say, well, my God, what did these guys do? Because Abdul Carter's still part of the team. And again, I don't know what they did. And I've had people suggest, well, if Abdul Carter did whatever these guys did, they'd find a way to forgive it. I don't know that that's the case. I really don't, and I don't think it's fair when we don't know the details. There's a couple of things I will say. And I'm just working with Penn State Wrestling as closely as I have over the years and with numerous coaches, and then just watching and talking with other coaches, including football coaches, but coaches of other sports, one of the toughest things, and I don't know that fans sometimes appreciate it. So most coaches, I'm sure there's exceptions out there, but pretty much all of the ones I know, they think of their team as family, as their sons or daughters, depending on the sport they're coaching. And there is a closeness there, and you want to see them succeed, not just athletically. You want to see them set themselves up for success in life. And I think it is really easy for fans when somebody gets a DUI or they get into a fight at a party, man, that guy, that's not the Penn State way. Okay, agreed. But also, like, for any of us, I know this is going to come as a shock to many in our audience, Jim, but there was a time or two in college that I might not have made what we would in hindsight call the very best decision I could have made. Again, just a couple of times somewhere along the way, I feel like that's possibly something that somebody could say about me. For any of us to be judged on our worst moments, our worst decisions, I just think it would be horribly unfair. And it's the same thing when it comes to these guys. These are college-age athletes. They are under a lot of pressure. They are influenced positively and negatively by a bunch of different people. And so that cutting ties, I think, while it's something that fans often will clamor for right away, you can't have that. Well, or could you have that and make this a teachable moment? Now, I'm not saying you don't punish him, just like with your kids, right? You don't just give up on your kids when they make a bad decision. They skip school. They don't come home and say, all right, you're out of the house. You just say, man, that's not acceptable. There's going to be additional punishment for what the school did because this behavior can't be tolerated, but you're trying to guide them in the right path. At the same time, there does come a point where it's like we need positive influences in the locker room, right? We talk all the time about, especially if you're at a school like Penn State, where you don't have quite the resources that Ohio State or Alabama or Georgia have. So that culture component, and I'm not saying it's not important at any of those other schools, but I think it is vitally critical for a program like Penn State. And if you have, and again, I don't know what all happened here, so I'm not talking this specifically because I just don't know. But if you as a coach feel like, listen, we've tried working with these kids, they're still heading down a path that we don't like. More importantly, they're influencing others on the team down a path that we don't like, then those decisions have to be made. I just think there's a lot more thought and consideration that goes into those types of decisions than fans would ever believe. And whether it's a star player or a backup player. And by the way, I'm not saying I'm not talking specifically about any of these situations at Penn State, but just as in life itself, right? If you have a star salesperson at the radio station and they are bringing in $50,000 a month billing, are you going to give them a little more leeway with something that they do than the guy that's bringing in $1,000 billing a month? Yeah, you are. Generally speaking, star players may get a little more leeway. And again, I have no idea in this particular case, but welcome to the real world. Your value to a company or to an organization is going to be part of what factors into the equation of how much they're willing to work with you. A B actor that's an extra in a film is not going to be given the same consideration for a DUI or drug problem that a superstar who's the main attraction bringing in millions of dollars is going to be.
Yes, you've got to earn the right for the tolerance. The balancing factor, and let me explain what led up to this thought on my part. Landon and I have been talking quite a bit on our show about what's going on at Georgia with their football team. And a little more than a year and a half ago, January of 23, they had players, I guess they were racing on the street, very high speed, and somebody ended up dying, okay? If you want to talk about an eye-opener, that lessons should have been learned. Well, here we are a year and a half later, and they've had over 20 driving violations, many of them very high speed. And with really high-end vehicles that these kids now are getting for NIL. It's a place that just begs for an example. you know, that let that if the punishment does not deter more bad behavior, you got to advance the punishment. And I'm doing it from the outside, but it doesn't appear that Georgia has been doing that type of thing, Jeff. So as much as, you know, I want to try the, you know, Penn State, we do things the right way here. You don't get away with these type of things. It's also, I think, good for your football team in the long run that if you take care of the issue quickly, the other players will get the message, I can't go down that path.
Absolutely. And again, there's a bunch of different things that come into play, and I don't think it's necessarily as cut and dried as we'd like to believe sometimes. Now, there's going to be times where it is, and I understand that as well. But I a lot of these, I think, are just judgment calls by the coach after talking with the players and getting the full story of whatever it is. And again, I'm with you. There has to be standards, and you've got to uphold the standards. I mean, if there is an agreement between player and coach, hey, player, you won't do this, or you will do that, and player doesn't follow through, there's got to be consequences. And depending on what the violations are, what the agreements were, yeah, sometimes those consequences are you're no longer part of the program. That is just part of the equation.
And I think the other part of this, and I did see this on social media where some folks took the opportunity to go after James Franklin for this as if he allowed it to happen. He didn't act quickly enough. Well, you also got to understand that some of these things, you got to get clarity. You got to get some facts, and you can't just jump in too quickly. He had the season coming up. He didn't have to act this quickly. I'm sure there was some background that needed to be obtained before you administer the punishment.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for the team as a whole, the coaches sit down, explain the situation, and then you hope everybody galvanizes and moves forward. You understand the situation and what's at stake for you individually and as a team moving forward, and you hope that everybody takes the lessons learned there to heart and get a better program moving forward.
That's exactly it. You hope the message gets out to the rest of the team. Jeff, sorry that we have to end on the negative note in this last segment, but it's been a while since we chatted. I did want to get your take on that issue. Thankfully, we're getting close to football. Pretty soon we'll be talking about actual games, Jeff. I'm excited about that. However, we are out of time for this episode. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.